Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. Do I have a show for you today, hot off the press? A fascination of mine, moods. Anxiety, depression, endorphins, your perception of reality. My fundamental belief, working with sick people for a long, long time, is that illness, almost, not always, but almost invariably, is blocked creative force. Now, say that to someone that's been in low back pain for a year and watch the look that you get. But nonetheless, on the other side of it, anybody that's been through chronic debilitating pain, disease, cancer, you name it, and has gotten to the other side, will tell you, in retrospect, it was just unhappiness. It was blocked creative force. Now that's a jump, and that's an evolution, and that's something you learn through trial and error to wrap your mind around. It's something you fight, because no one wants to really get to the bottom of things because it hurts. But that is the reality. And that's why I do this show, to give you reality, because I don't think, by and large, American holistic medicine delivers reality to people. I think they try, but I don't think we quite have a functional model. So I have a fascination with mood, anxiety, depression, the autonomic nervous system, endorphins, enkephalins, DMT, the pineal gland, the hypothalamus. And where you really see this play itself out is in drug withdrawal. Where you really see this play itself out is, in a sense, everybody has a little addiction to that little thing they know they shouldn't do, but they do anyway because it gets them through the day. Now, Aldous Huxley, Brave New World, prophesied a day when we would all function this way. And we've gotten about as close as we've ever been when we look at the SSRIs, when we look at the benzodiazepines, when we look at the various chemical miracles that we deliver, and yet there's another side to it. What side is that? Well, get to the website. I hope you're on the website. I hope you're doing this show through the pictures. If you're new to the show, get to my website, straighttalk.cc, not .com.cc. Those of you who are on it, go to today's show and take a look at picture number 31. Look at picture number 31. This you see cropping up periodically in Time, in Newsweek, in the different journals, always in the holistic journals. Antidepressants don't work. Which isn't to knock them when you need them, because sometimes you really are on the brink. Whether it's mania or depression, sometimes you need help from, well, the power of synthetic drugs. But they come with such an enormous price. That, in essence, isn't what today's show is about, but it shows you that our culture is fascinated with this, because everybody wants to be happy and too many people aren't. Now, I'm going to make a case today. You usually don't hear me make a case for supplements. Not that I don't advise you to utilize herbs, God's plants, different types of supplements that are concentrates from God's plants, so on and so forth. I advise you to use them with discretion. Discretion meaning they're not cure-alls. But every now and then, there are these therapies. And I call them therapies. HCL therapy is a therapy. Prepping yourself with coin grass and milk thistle and turmeric, so on and so forth, to do gallbladder flushes are therapies. The cleanses are effectively therapies. They're utilizing herbs to play with your body's physiological processes and enhance them. And in this sense, I think herbs can be very useful. One that I haven't discussed yet, just because it, well, 220 shows, it just hasn't come down the pipe yet, but it's coming down hard now and thus out to you, is how you can use amino acids to regulate your moods, which is not to say they are a cure-all. It is to say they are a very helpful, potentially vital at times, contribution. And that's part of what we're going to get into today. I want to talk about mood, anxiety, depression, how you look at it, how you move with it. And for those of you who are in a good mood, get in a great mood. And for those of you who haven't had a happy day, maybe in 40 or 50 years, understand that for as much as you see your reality in a very dark way because of the things you've suffered, that is just a perception. And that you can use God's plants, you can use chemistry, you can use all the good things that are out there to shift your perception. Which again isn't to deny you your pain. You see, when you say this to people, you can shift your perception. They're quick to say to you, yeah, but you don't know what I've gone through. Which is to say, I'm going to hold on to my perception because I've gone through it, you haven't, so don't tell me about it. And that's what people do, and that's very natural to do that. Nonetheless, it's not the truth. The truth is, whether you're a little bug being squashed or a giant elephant having its tusk torn out or a gorilla having its hand cut off to make an ashtray, or so on and so forth, everybody suffers. And the issue is everybody thinks they're the only person that does suffer. And that's kind of understandable, because when the baby gets hurt, the baby's only interested in fixing the baby, not fixing mankind. So we're all self-centered, and we have to allow ourselves our self-centeredness, but it develops its own form of short-sightedness or myopia. We tend to be and put ourselves in a little bubble of pain that only we can understand. And this is not true. So what do you do when you can't get on the other side of your anxiety? And what do you do when you can't get on the other side of the pain? You seek counsel. Well, the last 20 years have shown us that while you're seeking counsel, however you're seeking counsel, to whoever you're seeking counsel from, there's a whole chemistry underneath that. And that chemistry can change you from Jekyll to Hyde and from Hyde to Jekyll. Thus the show today. So I'm going to focus on amino acids, but I also want to bring in as much as I can of the overall chemistry, of the overall chemical mechanisms that work in the body to get you high every single day. All right. If you're on the website, fantastic. If not, straighttalk.cc, not .com.cc. Anxiety and depression, the power of amino acid therapy. Let's talk about amino acids. I can't skip the basics, especially for some of you. So what is an amino acid? Well, let's talk about what a bunch of amino acids that get strung together become. They become proteins. So when you eat steak, that's mostly protein. And that protein goes in, and we all understand that it's a building block of our bodies. Proteins, fats, and carbohydrates. These proteins are made of strings of amino acids. I want you to go to picture number two. And there's a string, picture number two, a string of amino acids. Glycine, phenylalanine, glutamine, arginine, cysteine, leucine, tryptophan, proline. There's a bunch of amino acids that have been isolated for many, many hundreds of years. Go to picture number three. There's the periodic chart of amino acids. Histidine, arginine, lysine, phenylalanine, alanine, methionine, leucine, cysteine, asparagine, serine, and they all have different qualities. We put them in different groups, we pull protons off them, and we talk about how they alter pHs, and there's so much about amino acid and its relationship in the body based upon, I'll just go to picture number 4. Take it this far, not that hard. Picture number 4. On the bottom there, it says primary structure. When amino acids connect to each other in your body, that sequence of connection is called the primary structure. So an amino acid by itself, connected to another amino acid, connected to a third. If you look at the bottom there, that's tyrosine, lysine, alanine, valine, asparagine, leucine, serine, histidine, phenylalanine, leucine, lysine, glutamine, so on and so forth. That's called the primary structure, that sequence. That sequence per protein changes. So there's, 22 amino acids? 8 of those are essential, meaning 8 your body doesn't make. And they'll combine in a primary structure. Now, if you look at, on that picture number 4, don't get a headache yet, secondary structure, those amino acid chains can take on a secondary configuration, meaning you can look at how those chains start to mold and move around in another structure. And they'll make what we call beta sheets or alpha helixes. And then we can take that secondary structure, and we can fold the alpha helix or the beta sheet into a tertiary structure. And then we can fold the tertiary structure into a quaternary structure. Now, everything that we talk about when we say a protein, so a hormone is a protein. A muscle is a protein. I mean, protein is a fundamental building block of the human body. And how it turns out and how it functions and what it is depends on the primary structure, the secondary structure, the tertiary structure, and the quaternary structure combined. And that's how you get the infinite variety of proteins in the body. Okay. That's not too tough. Really not. Now, we're going to focus on individual amino acids. So we're not looking at proteins because we found out, this has been known for a long time, that individual amino acids are precursors to the chemicals that control your mood. So when we say serotonin, there are precursors. When we say GABA aminobutyric acid, there are precursors. When we say glutamate, there are precursors to glutamate. So a lot of the things we found that control mood and have become our Prozacs, they have become our drugs that alter mood. Begin with understanding how amino acids alter mood. What we do with the drug, well, I've done a show in the past on that a few weeks ago. So all your drug therapies to control your mood, they're heavily linked to an understanding of what I'm explaining to you today. Now, you know the detour you're going to take. You're not going to do the drug. If you're on the drug, you have to understand how to get off the drug and what you face when you get off the drug. You know, the sad thing today is, if you go to a clinic, there was a guy down in Mexico, his name was William Hitt, H-I-T-T. Medical doctor, very, very knowledgeable about how to use intravenous amino acids. Today we have Murray Susser in West Los Angeles, a medical doctor, skilled, very skilled in how to use amino acids to get people off drug dependencies. We have a guy that worked with Bill Hitt for many years, John Homestead, down in San Diego, another medical doctor. And these guys have these clinics where you go and you get these amino acid drips to balance out your neurotransmitters, something I'm going to explain a bit about.